Well, we're so happy to have with us now the president of the Browns, Mike Holmgren. Mike, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Vic.
Well, Mike, so much is talked about by you and others in this organization about the importance of the draft, how this team builds itself through the draft, and we've just completed the draft. How good do you feel just in general about what was accomplished and how it plays into the big picture of this team?
Well, in all honesty, I think every time you ask that question of anyone who's just been involved with the draft, they better say they had a good draft. That's the first thing.
Right.
But, you know, I have tremendous confidence in Tom Heckert and our personnel department, our scouts, and our coaches, how they blend together nicely in their evaluations, and they did a great job in this year's draft. We had picks early, which gave us some excitement early. And coming away, I think we filled some needs, and not only filled needs, that's not enough just to fill the need, but with quality players. So, again, we have young people that are going to come in and have to play right away and be part of the group that we've kind of added to in the last 2 years of young players in the draft coming in and making a contribution right away. So I was very, very pleased with how the draft went.
It looked like with 9 picks, I think it's almost impossible not to do this, but it looked like you hit every key area you wanted to hit. Now, you know, people can argue about the degrees to which you hit those areas, but you definitely seemed to hit the places that presumably were needed to hit going into this draft.
Yeah, I think so. It was no secret to anyone that we were going to probably go offensive players during the draft, particularly early. And, you know, and then it got kind of exciting about our first pick because, contrary to what was written and what was said in some places, you know, we had to probably move to guarantee we get the running back,
right,
Trent. And I was willing to do that. Tom was willing to do that. And the other thing I want to kind of mention here is that there's a lot of speculation as to how that all works and the decision making. Tom Heckert and Pat Shermer and I talk for hours and days prior to the draft. And when we choose a player for the Cleveland Browns, it's the Cleveland Browns player. It's not Mike Holmgren's player or
right.
Tom Heckert's player.
Right.
And no one's pushing anybody. No one's overriding anybody. We have those discussions to come to an intelligent, rational decision, and that's what we did. And those guys are great to work with.
And, it seemed that way just through the first round that you ended in places that to me weren't surprising because – you know, I had a sense these were players you liked in Trent Richardson, in Brandon Whedon. We knew a right tackle was going to be there somewhere along the line, and the second round seemed to be the place to do that. Some others would have said, well, what about a more, quote, recognizable name than a Mitchell Schwartz, and why a Brandon Whedon then and maybe not in the first round and maybe not in the second? But bottom line is, when you target and want certain players, you get those players.
Yeah, I think so. And particularly when you're talking about the quarterbacks. The quarterback's always the lightning rod, usually for any draft, because, you know, so much is talked about getting a franchise quarterback and this and that. And to do that, people assume you have to do it in the first round, at least historically speaking. You know, I've had good fortune with quarterbacks taken later that have played and played very, very well for me.
Right.
But in Brandon's situation, I think he presented a unique situation because of his age, you know, and you were not going to take him really and say, okay, you're going to sit and learn for 3 or 4 years. I mean, that's crazy. You're not going to do that.
Right.
So, but he's going to get a chance to come in and compete hard for the position. I also told him in the interview, as an example, that I've never, ever, and I talked to every player that comes into this building prior to the draft, I have never once promised a starting position to any player, ever. I refuse to do that. They got to come in and show us what they can do and compete. And so that's the situation with him. And I wasn't going to wait. None of us were going to wait. Not just me, but none of us were going to wait until 37 at that particular point and run the risk of perhaps losing him because we had targeted Brandon as the quarterback we wanted to take.
And it was brought up, I know, in the post-draft or near the end of the draft news conference that you guys had, you and Pat Shermer, and then when Tom Heckert was visiting with media earlier in the draft, that, look, players aren't consulted about these picks, existing players. You guys pick the players you pick, and you don't go out and ask for a lot of opinions for your help there. But the obvious thought being, what does this mean to Colt McCoy, and what, you know, what feeling should he have about this and how he should respond to this?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair, you know, in an effort to treat all players the same way, with respect. You know, when we decided we were going to draft the quarterback, we did try and phone Colt at that particular point, phone Seneca at that particular point, just to let him know. I think that's fair. I think that's a decent thing to do. Now, but we're not certainly not going to consult a player on who to pick.
Right.
Now, having said that, you know, Colt realizes he's going to have to compete with the position. I said it in my press conference. There's only one football. One guy plays. It's not a, you know, that's just the way it is.
Sure.
And
sure.
It's been that way in this business for a long time, not just at the quarterback position or any position. So you play the best guys you have, but you need depth. You need quality backups. You need all that kind of stuff. And I've been down this road before with young quarterbacks. In Green Bay, I had Brett Favre, who was a two-year player, Mark Brunell, who I think was a rookie at the time, and Ty Detmer was a rookie. So between the three of them,
right,
they had 2 years of experience in the league.
Right.
And Brett didn't play his first year. So, you know, you can go young as long as you think they're talented and get the job done.
Mike Holmgren, the Browns president, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Mike, back to the big picture message of what the draft means to this team. And when we look now at the totality of your program from year one to where we are right now. So we look at what came in 2010, 2011, the starters that have been produced from those drafts, again, mostly on the defensive side. Your sense of what the progress line looks at, obviously knowing that we can't ignore four-win season of last year, and just trying to gauge in your mind how good you feel about what this year's additions will mean on top of the last 2 years' additions to get you where you want to be with dramatic, you've talked about it, you know, dramatic improvement or significant improvement in 2012.
Yeah, I think that has to happen, in my opinion, Vic. You know, I mean, and I've made no bones about it to our coaching staff, our existing players, anybody who cares to listen, that I expect us to take a pretty good jump. Now, how can I say that after what's happened the last couple of years? And I, when you reflect back, as painful as it can be sometimes on a four-win season, there are a number of games, had we been able to score a couple of touchdowns, we would have won the games. We would have had a much better record. And but we couldn't. I mean, that you are what you are.
Right.
And so offensively, we were not very explosive, not very good last year. But we were playing some young people, and there are reasons for that. Now, what have we done to make that better? I assume, I'm making the assumption here, and it's a big assumption, that we played pretty good defense last year. We've added to the defense. Our young people that have played defense now are a year older, guys like Ward and Hayden and Taylor and those guys. And so and they're pretty solid over there, you know, and I expect them to play at least the way we played last year. Now, if we can score some points and keep them off the field a little bit, you know, we should improve. And that's how I'm looking at it. So we got the running back who I think has a chance to be a real fine player in this league for a long time.
Right.
And I don't think there's a lot of dispute with that. Now, I keep my fingers crossed everyone stays healthy and those types of things. But I think he's the real deal. And that helps everybody on offense. That just helps everybody on offense.
Right.
The second thing is it would be highly unlikely that we're going to drop as many passes as we did last year. I think we set the world record on drop balls last year, which
Sadly,
it can't happen.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think some of that's youth, some of it, I don't know what it is. It's hard to explain, but we will be better there. Our two young offensive guards have another year under their belt. You know, we have our receivers. We added some real speed, okay, at the wide receiver position with our young draft choice. So I'm saying that we will be better. Now, if everyone has to stay healthy and we have to function, and then we have to have good quarterback play.
And the coaching comes into this too. The coaching staff, which has you added more talent there, and certainly in Brad Childress, the teaching level that you have with this group, this is going to be hugely important. I mean, it's always important no matter what, but with a younger team, you're counting on that group, Pat Shurmur and his group, to get these players NFL ready immediately.
Yeah, and I think in fairness to Pat, you know, coming in as a first-time head coach last year, he came in under very unusual circumstances. My goodness, you had the lockout. You didn't have an off-season program. You have a very young quarterback. You know, you lose your starting guard right away. I mean, there are some things that happened there that made it probably a little more challenging than most guys coming in that situation. But he lived through it. You know, he is, if nothing else, he's very critical of his own dealings, and you have to be, because that's where it starts. You look in the mirror and see how you can fix what you did, not the guy sitting next to you. And I think with the addition of Brad Childress, excellent, excellent offensive mind, head coaching experience, and Pat, there are situations where you need a guy like that to say, hey, listen, what do you think about this? You need somebody on your staff that you can do that with. I always had somebody, and now, you know, he's got Dick Duron, tremendous experience on that side of the ball, Brad on the offensive side of the ball, Gil Haskell's helping.
Yep.
I have tremendous confidence in Pat Shurmur's ability to get this job done, get the most out of the team. So I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. And the other thing that I think is notable here, it seems like both not only yourself, but this is coming up in the coming week, especially and beyond. People in this organization going out there in the community and really just being more visible and communicating. And in your case, a week from today, you're going to appear at a luncheon in Akron, I think, which would be nice. Pat Shurmur, you know, doing his thing. I think he'll be at some luncheon later on, I think a week from next Friday, because he's got minicamp Friday. But it must be, from your standpoint, I think, a good thing to just engage and let people know the things that you believe, the excitement that I see in you and hear from you and others, share that with the community.
Yeah, I enjoy doing that, Vic. And contrary, again, to what some people might think and say, you know, I am engaged. And, you know, I thought a lot about this, because when I took the position, I was trying to be very, very, very careful to do what I have to do as president of the club and support and help the head coach, who should be the face of the franchise. I mean, he's the guy. And in attempting to do that, I probably stayed in the background, maybe a little too much. I don't know, you know, because I don't mind talking to our media. I don't mind talking to groups. It's easy to get excited about our football team, and I might start doing a little bit more than I've done in the past, only to kind of spread the message. And I, in no way, I'm not coaching the football team. I did that for a long time. I have a great football coach. So I don't want to do anything that would hinder him. I want to do things to help him. And that was my motive, really, for kind of staying in the background. But if I can help the whole situation more by being a little more out there, then I'll do that. I have to see how that goes.
Good stuff. Mike, thank you so much.
Oh, anytime, Vic.
He is the team president, Mike Holmgren, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. It's brought to you by Madden NFL 12. EA Sports, it's in the game.